Good evening, church.
Good evening.
Glad you could be with us on a beautiful Wednesday evening, Thomas Village Baptist Church. And I'd like to welcome all those out in Facebook land. And if you're out there in the parking lot listening to 88.1 on the radio, and we welcome you. And as always, we start our service off with a song to the Lord. So let's stand and sing number 516. When the roll is called up yonder. 516. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you tonight. So thankful you've made the effort to come out, and I pray you've had a blessed day. And I know we're a little bit... Thank you, Sister Michelle, for putting me some pencils up here. I know we're probably a little down about the red wave not coming across, but hallelujah, the red blood of Jesus Christ is still on us. Amen? And nothing can wash that away. Do we have any words? Again, we will be... Oh, in case I forgot to tell you, how about them dogs, right? I'm going to leave it there. I won't rub it in too bad. We can't talk about it at my house. My wife says she won't talk to me no more if I talk about it. Do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight? Before we go into our prayer time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else?
I mean,
He's healthy. He was healthy.
He felt well. I mean, the way he came.
Yeah.
That's better than him. You mean that offering was going to help me out?
Yeah, you didn't need the help, but he was willing, wasn't he?
But he could have, if I needed it, he could have it. He could have done it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll ask them if you can't do it.
Amen.
You know, and you get it. We're trying to boil up two sisters and put mother and father. And I had a black dog and a black white dog.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Ken. Thank you, Brother. Anybody else got a word of praise or testimony tonight? Amen. That's right. Amen. Just being able to get out of bed in the morning. A lot of people can't. A lot of people can't. Anyone else? Tonight we do have a lot of prayer needs. We will be in the book of Luke, chapter 19. But we have a good bit of prayer needs. And I think Brother Wayne's sermon this week, Sunday, was very needful as we, a lot of people's dealing with a lot of different issues. And sometimes the devil and the world tries to rob you of your faith, your fight, and your hope. But in Jesus' name, like we said, we have the person of the Holy Spirit living within us. And no matter what's going on around us, our Creator has the last and final say. Amen. We do want to pray, number one, for the lost. We want to lift up those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe those that have backslidden, those that are that think they are saved, those that have maybe been baptized or joined the church, and in their mind that equates to them having a relationship with Jesus Christ. But we want to pray that God take away those scales from their eyes like He did Paul when he was on the road. And so, pray for them, and then we pray for those that are shut in, those that can't get out, and dealing with those that are dealing with depression and issues like that. And then we want to pray for Mr. Leonard and Sister Nancy, Danny, Brother Danny and Sister Sherry, and then Sister Sherry's brother also for salvation. Miss Molly Edwards, Diane Anderson, Roy and Phyllis Baker, Melba Bishop, Teresa Stanley, Eddie and Michelle Bishop, Ethan Bowen, Moselle Carter, Jeanette Carter, Peggy DeBoer, Lottie Johnson, Wilma Daniels, Jesse Bull, Pam Savarsky, Wilma Williams, Burl House, Teresa Cobb, Daniel and Erica Boyer, Amanda Campbell, David and Gerald Cantrell, Gail Collins, Steve Neff, Jewel Drawdery, Sue Dixon, John Say, Audrey Irving, June Fannin, Ann Graham, Marvin Graham in Recovery Through Christ, Robbie that's there with them, had to go to the emergency room this morning, so pray for him. Sally Grebe, Brittany Grindstaff, Cindy Osborne, Vicki Haley and family, Tom Hendricks, Noah Hensley, Melanie Lester, Sister Willis, Rick Pressman, Rick Sawyers, Serenity Holston and her family, Courtney Qualls and their family, Charlotte Smith, David Duncan, Ariana Bryson, Gary Gillum, Lucy Jordan, Miguel Santos, Nolan Hensley, Martin Stanley, Rick and Lisa Tipton, Robert Vaughn, Nathaniel Wells, Ed Piercy, Gail Collins, Glenda Sturgill, Dwight Hubbard, Jonathan Sherfy, Junior Hill, Dale Taylor and Miranda, Linda Phillips, Curtis Henderson, Krista, Irma Lee and Gracie. And then let's pray for Florida again as they're getting hit by another. I don't think it's a hurricane, but it's a tropical storm. And I seen some pictures that said at low tide it was coming in about a foot and a half. It's going to be rough when high tide comes in. And then we want to pray for Sister Betty Bledsoe. How's she getting along, Brother Gary? Good deal. Sister Yvonne is dealing with a sickness tonight. Want to pray for her. And then also Sister Melissa has had to be at the doctor 2 days in a row having some pain. And she was going to have some scans today. But also, let's pray for the praise team. They've asked for prayer as the devil's coming against them. Do we have any other prayer needs tonight? Yes, ma'am.
Carrie Williams.
Carrie Williams.
C-A-R-R-I-E.
Good deal. Thank you, brother. Say that again.
Lucy Rose.
Lucy Rose. That's the new one, ain't it? How long? How is it any day? Gotcha. Amen. We got a big God that's able.
Eddie Duncan.
Eddie Duncan. Dua, we double praying for her. Pray for Wayne Altman. This is a member of my dad's church that just needs prayer physically, for physical healing. Anyone else? Thank you, Brother John. Any more? Sue Dixon, praise the Lord. I used to have a teacher named Sue Dixon. And remember our Maddie as well. She's got to have some more tests and things like that. She was referred to this doctor and that doctor, and everybody's got to get their slice of the pie. You know what I mean? You got to jump through the hoops before they give you answers. And I tell you what, we talked about the election a little bit. It's not settled. And we need to be praying right now that the hand of God be on it. And I tell you, it's heartbreaking that abortion was as big an issue as it turned out to be. But are there any other prayer needs tonight? All right, Brother John Franklin, would you come and lead us in a word of prayer over these prayer needs, over our lost that we have the list here, and then so how many of us have an unspoken tonight? Amen, we all do. And the altar is open.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just humbly bow here before you this evening. Father, Lord, you are just great Almighty. I cannot put it into words just how great you are, Father, Lord. You are the God of the universe. Praise you, Lord, for just everything that you are. Lord, Lord, my tongue is just frozen this evening, Father, Lord. I can't put into words, Lord, anything, Lord. Lord, just the vain words that we can just sometimes repeat over and over in our prayers, Father, Lord. I don't know what to pray to you, Lord, this evening, Father. So at this time, I just lift up, Father, Lord, the prayer requests.
Yes.
Lord, that we've all mentioned out here, Lord, that Pastor Brian read off the list. Lord, I just lift up all those to you, Father, Lord, in each and every case, each and every situation, each and every individual. Father, Lord, be with them, Lord, for sickness, Lord, pray for healing, Lord, and all those individuals. Lord, if they're going through a trial in their life, Father, Lord, just give them the strength, Lord, to get through that. Lord, we know you will, if we just trust in you. Father, Lord, I just pray for all the lost individuals. and also, Father, Lord, in all of our lives everywhere, Father, Lord, this entire community. And I just pray for Thomas Village Baptist Church and all of our members, Father, Lord, that we have the boldness to live out and to speak the gospel to a lost person, Father. Lord, that we make that a part of our regular day lives, Father, Lord. That we live to spread the gospel, Father. Lord, that we live to tell the good news, that we live to be a light. Lord, that it's not just a Lord, that we don't just compartmentalize you into some portion of our life, Lord, or we just turn the switch on and off. Lord, that we just make you our life. Lord, I just thank you so much. Lord, just be with our study this evening, Lord. Be with Brian, Lord, as he teaches us. Keep us all safe as we head home. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Brother John. We'll be in Luke chapter 19. And as Brother John was praying, we'll be picking up in verse 11. Luke 19, verse 11. As Brother John was praying, he talked about how his prayer request was that we not compartmentalize our Christianity. And we do that so much with our lives. You know, I'm pastor here, and so I'm in that block. But then when I go home, I'm dad and husband. And then when I go down to Georgia, I'm son and brother down there. But the thing about Christ is that he's to permeate every block of our life, every area that we have. He's supposed to be in. And it's going to come up in our study tonight. Are you there in Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 11? Now, this is our 10th study of the parables. And if you notice, we kindly went from... Well, you ain't seen my list. I've been going from top to bottom, and so I got a little bored with that, so I jumped down to the last one on the list. So this is the last one on my list. But it's the parable of the 10 coins, or the 10 mina, or pound is what some say. And some people get it confused with the parable of the talents over in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. But if you read them and lay them beside each other, you can clearly see that they're two different parables, that there's two different teachings there. And so this is only found in the book of Luke. And so are you with me? Verse 11? All righty. As they were listening to this, Jesus went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought the kingdom of God was going to appear right away. Therefore, Jesus said, a nobleman traveled to a far country to receive for himself the authority to be king and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 mina, meaning that he gave each one of them one coin. And he told them, engage or occupy in business until I come. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him and saying, we do not want this man to be ruler over us. At the nobleman's return, having received the authority to be king, he summoned his servants, the servants that he had given money to, so that he could find out how much they had made in business. Verse 16. The first came and said, Master, your mina has earned 10 more mina. Well done, good servant, he told him, because you have been faithful in a very small matter, have authority over 10 towns. The second servant came and said, Master, your mina has made 5 more mina. So the master said, you will be over 5 towns. Then another servant came and said, Master, here is your mina. I have kept it in this cloth because I was afraid of you, since you are a harsh man. You collected that which you did not deposit and reaped that which you did not sow. And the nobleman said, I will condemn you by what you have said, you evil servant. Since you knew that I am a harsh man, collecting that which I did not deposit and reaping that which I did not sow, then why did you not put my money in the bank? So when I returned, I would have collected interest. So the money is taken away from him and given to the servant that had 10. And then they said, but master, he already has 10. I tell you, everyone who has, more will be given. And from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Bring here these enemies of mine who did not want me to rule over them, and now slaughter them in my presence. And may God add the blessings to his scripture. Now, again, we're mindful of what a parable is. Somebody tell me what a parable is. I tell you every Wednesday night. Somebody tell me what it is. Amen. It is a story that takes elements of the world that we know, people, places, things, events, things that we are familiar with, and by that, there is a spiritual or eternal truth that is revealed to those that will receive it. And so, before we go any further, remember, why is it that Christ teaches in parables? Remember, there's at least 30 to 35 parables, there is none in John, just in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All of those parables. And the Bible says this, that he did not teach anything without a parable. So why was it that Jesus taught through parables? It is. They were very familiar with their culture. One, it is evidence of being the Messiah. If you look over in Psalms chapter 78, verse 2, it says, I will declare wise sayings, and I will speak mysteries from the past. But also, it's that the culture that they were used to, they were an oral culture, and traditions were passed down through the speaking to one another, and the stories allowed them to remember it better. You know, if you tie something with something familiar, then you're able to recall it a little bit easier. But this is specifically why there in Matthew 13, where we find at least 6 or 7 parables, the apostles went to Jesus and they asked him, why are you teaching these things in parables? And he said this, because the secrets of heaven, or the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. For whoever has more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That is a familiar phrase, very repeated. Matthew 13:13. For this reason I speak to them in parables, because looking they do not see, hearing they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled. You listen and listen, yet you never understand. You look and look, yet you never perceive. For this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing. They have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn back. So we see that he does it specifically as a fulfillment of prophecy. It's a part of the culture, but also that there are those that are going to receive it through the power of the Holy Spirit. They'll see the truth, they'll understand the truth, and they'll accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But also there are those that will not receive it. They'll reject it. And instead of applying their ear to hear and their hearts to receive, they just pass it on like nothing. So first thing we need to do tonight is we've got to set the context up here. And if you look there in verse 11, notice what it says. It says, because he was near Jerusalem. That's very important. Who knows what had just happened? Over back in chapter 18, I believe. Well, it might be in chapter 9. It's about a little man. Zacchaeus. Just got saved. He said he come to know Christ. And remember, he come down from the tree. Jesus went and ate with him. And that was the last time that he passed through that city. And this is the last time that he's coming near to Jerusalem. Because what's next on the event calendar is his death on the cross. This is the last time he will enter into Jerusalem before he dies on the cross. And one of the commentaries says, so we understand what's going on. He's pushing. And around this same time, we know other things were happening. We know that that's when he raised up Lazarus from the dead around this time, remember? And it was kind of getting exciting around Jesus. He was doing things that he was showing himself to be the Messiah. And notice it says in verse 11, the first point is correcting kingdom thinking. In this parable, we see that Christ has to correct kingdom thinking. It says in verse 11, after it says, because he was near to Jerusalem, and they thought the kingdom of God was going to appear right away. What do you think that means when it says that they, which is specifically talking about his apostles and probably others that were following because it seems like he was getting popular, what do you think it meant that they thought it was going to appear right away? Yeah, they thought he was going to Jerusalem and he was going to set up his kingdom. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. He's going in there and he's going to set up his throne just in the same place that David ruled from and that he was going to rule and reign. One of the commentaries that I read behind pointed back to Luke chapter 19 verse 9 where it says, today salvation has come to this house, Jesus told him, because he too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, he said that it got to a point to where, now think about it. The apostles believed that he is the Messiah, and they believed that correctly. And they're believing he's been talking about, he's been building up to a point. They know that something is about to happen. And people around them were recognizing that he was the Christ. And so they were believing that once they got there, that they were going to see the kingdom of God. If you remember, this is where it wasn't much before this that they were asking, well, who's going to sit by your right hand and who's going to sit by your left hand? And so they were expecting this. And I want you to notice this, that even though they were right in believing that the Messiah, that Jesus Christ is the anointed one of God, their preconceived ideas and their preconceived desires was messing up the way that they were thinking. Yes, he was the Messiah. Yes, his kingdom is going to be fulfilled, but not in the way that they thought. See, they were thinking on an earthly realm. Remember, we've talked about the difference between earthly thinking and kingdom thinking. Earthly values and earthly wealth compared to kingdom wealth and what is important there. Isaiah 55 verses 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You know what? When I think about God moving here at Thomas Village Baptist Church, I think about just people beginning to come and we see people getting saved and we see people rededicating their lives. But you know what? What if God doesn't want to do that here yet? What if it's all about the ones that are already here getting our hearts right and getting our minds to thinking like Christ Jesus and believing like Him? Romans chapter 2 verse 12. Be not conformed to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can discern what is good, what is pleasing, and the perfect will of God. Do we know the next direction that God wants us to go as individuals? Do we know the next step that this church is supposed to take? Are we certain of that? If we are, then we, if we're not, then we need to be seeking the mind of Christ. And you know what? What does it say over there in Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2? It talks about, hey, the only person that can know the mind of God is God Himself. But He has given us the person of the Holy Spirit. And if we're willing, He will give us, you remember what it says in Philippians chapter 2? I believe it's verse 3. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He'll give us that mind, but we've got to desire that mind, and we've got to be willing to throw away our earthly thinking, our earthly wisdom, and trade it in for kingdom wisdom, for kingdom thinking. And so that's the first thing that he had to deal with before he went to tell this parable. And he told, or that's why he's telling this parable. Because he wants them to understand it's not going to happen the way you thought it was would happen. So we see that kingdom thinking had to be corrected. But then the next thing we see is that there is kingdom responsibility. Kingdom responsibility. Look there in verses 12 through 14. Therefore Jesus said, a nobleman traveled to a far country to receive for himself authority to be king, and then returned. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 coins, and he told them, engage in business until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent the delegation after him. We do not want this man to rule over us. Now remember, we've already talked about that a parable takes earthly things and teaches us a heavenly truth. So the first thing we've got to do is we've got to look at the players in this scene, right? And we've got to figure out who they are. The first one is the nobleman. Who do you think the nobleman is? It's Christ Jesus. It's Christ Jesus. See the picture of him? He's going to go away, but he's going to come back, and he's coming back as a king. See, when he first came, he came as the conquering servant. But when he comes back again, he's coming back as the conquering king. So the first one, the nobleman. Now let's think about it. The earth has never seen a man like Jesus. The earth has never... I mean, think about this. The idea of noble or nobility means that possessing high or excellent qualities and properties. Very good and excellent. Now think about this. Sickness and infirmity obeyed him whenever he spoke. Nature bowed down. The wind, the waves, the tree, all of them bowed down. The demons begged him for mercy. And the Father even spoke so that it was audibly heard. This is my Son. So there is no more noble man than Jesus Christ. Amen? So the next thing is the servants. Now, the servants are a picture of those who follow Christ. Specifically, it would be the apostles and those that are following right at that time. What we're going to see here is that there's two kinds of servants. There's genuine or faithful servants, and then there are unfaithful servants. And then there's another one, and this one kind of popped up on me, but I want you to look there in verses 13, it talks about who did he give the coins to? Servants, right? His servants. Those that were his. They served on him. But I want you to look in verse 14. What does it say right there? But his subjects. That's two different things, right? Servants is one thing, but subjects is another, right? Okay. So, who would the subjects be? It would be specifically Jews. It would be the Jews there. But on the whole picture, it would be the world. It would be those around him. So now that we've got that, we've identified the characters, now we can kind of figure this out. Notice it says that the nobleman, what's he going to do? He's going to travel to, not just to a country, but a what country? Far country. A distant country. What we're seeing there, if you look up the word far, if you look up the word distant there, it literally means lengthy or long. And John 14 is all about him going away, remember? Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, right? And he tells them, he said, you can't come with me. Remember, they even asked, how are we going to know the way? And he said, I am the way. I am the way. Over in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, we see when the nobleman leaves or when he goes on that far, to that far distant land. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. After he said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him away. So we see that he's trying to tell them that I've got to leave. I've got to go and I've got to handle some things. And it's not going to be overnight when I come back. It's going to take a little while. I'm going to a distant land. But I want you to notice something else as he tells them this story. The certainty that lies within the noble man. Look what he says. I'm going, what am I going to do? I'm going to receive authority to be the king. And when I come, and then I'm coming back. Notice, one, he was certain that he was coming back. Right? He was letting them know it's not chance, it's not accident, but as the noble man, as the ruler of this, as your owner, as the ruler of this area, I'm coming back. John 14, verses 3 through 4. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I am going. Why? Because I am the way. If you look over in 2 Peter, I believe it is, the last chapter, it talks about how people are scoffing and they're laughing. And from the beginning of time, it's been said that he's going to come back. And I'm telling you, the more we look at our nation right now, we're seeing more and more that people are just scoffing. But praise God, we have the promise that Christ Jesus is going to return, and he is going to return in a physical form. He is certain. He has given us that word. But then notice something else. Not only that, but he's certain that he's going to have a kingdom when he comes back too. He's not just coming back empty-handed, but he's coming back. Notice he says, I'm going to receive the authority. Listen, what does the Bible say in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9? Who exists in the form of God, talking about Jesus, who did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of man, and when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Now, Philippians 2:9. For this reason, God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. When he came back, he came back as the representative of God, the Word of God. He came as the suffering servant, the Lamb of God. But now the Father has bestowed on him. And when he tells him to go back, he's coming back with the authority of all creation behind him. And there's going to be a reckoning. And we're going to see that here in just a second. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, now that he has gone into heaven, he is at the right hand of God with the angels, authorities, and powers subject to him. You know that all the realms that we cannot see, they know that Jesus is in charge. They know that he's in control. You remember what happened when he died? He left the body. He went and shook the gates of hell. Remember the gates of death. And there's coming a day that he's going to come back, and he's going to establish his kingdom by the authority of all creation. And so, because all that is true, he's going away. He's the nobleman. He's going away. He's coming back. And he's coming back with authority. Because all that is true, then here's where we get to kingdom responsibility, all right? Kingdom, look there in verse 13. Then he called his 10 servants and gave them 10 minas, and he told them, engage in business until I come back. What is the King James, I think it uses, occupy, right? Is there any other words there? Engage, occupy, anything like that? Do business with. That's the literal interpretation of it. To do business with. Don't just take up space. There's something that you're supposed to be doing. As my service, I want you to be engaged in business. I want you to be working. Now, let me ask you this. Now, we've got to cross it, right? He says, I've given you coins of value. Now, the mina, one mina, it was basically 3 to 4 months' salary. I mean, that's pretty good money, right? He'd give them that, and he said, what I want you to do, I want you to engage. I want you to do business. Now, what do we have as genuine believers that we're to engage with? Yeah, we do have that. But what have we been given? See, no, here's the picture. He gave them something of great value and worth, right? Now, what do we have? Salvation. A new life. Praise God, that's the valuablest thing that we can have, right? And listen, it's not just talking about a new life as an individual, the compartments that we're talking about. But listen what John MacArthur says. He says, this is about living your Christian life as a trust. That it's not yours, but God has entrusted this to you. The nobleman, Christ Jesus, has entrusted something valuable into your life with the power of the Holy Spirit, with spiritual opportunities and spiritual gifts and spiritual privileges. Everything that the Lord puts in your life. Everything. That's how we engage. Like Brother Hughes said, Lord, don't let us compartmentalize. Don't let it just be about Sunday. Don't let it just be about when we have choir practice on Wednesday. But let it permeate through me that my car, my speech, everything that's about me, when I'm out at the beach or I'm having free time, let all of that be about Christ Jesus. And notice this. All of us start just like these, right? Just like they were each given one, right? They were equal. The Bible teaches us that all of us have been given the same thing as well, right? We've been given the person of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. To one is given the message of wisdom by the Spirit. To another, the message of knowledge by the Spirit. To another, faith, same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, one Spirit. To another, miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing of spirits, languages, interpretation, all that. But all of it has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're to be occupying with. We're to be engaging the world around us with that new life, that greatest of possessions that we've been given by the noble man. Okay, is there any other thoughts before we go there? The responsibility. I do want you to look at the idea of the subjects. Notice what happened. What did they say? They sent a delegation and they said what? We don't want you to rule over us, right? Now we have the picture of the Sanhedrin, don't we? They came and they said, we don't want you here. We killed you, right? But even we see today as the global picture, what's the world saying? We don't want a higher power. We don't want to answer to someone else. We are the higher power. We are the greatest. So we see correction of kingdom thinking. We see that there is kingdom responsibility, and then there is kingdom accountability. I'm not going to read the whole passage here, but I want you to look at it. Basically, what we're told is that when he comes back, when the nobleman comes back from his long trip, he calls in those servants. Now, this is what gets me. This is my question. I don't have an answer for it. He had 10. Where did the other 7 go? I don't know. But notice what it said. It says the first one, he calls the first one in, and how many coins did he bring back? 10. With the one he had, and then he brought back the 10 he had. Now remember, there in verses 16 and 17, we see the picture of the faithful servant. The ones that accepted the instruction and the responsibility that was given to them by the nobleman. And look, you remember I said that this coin was basically, let's say it was worth 3 months' rent or 3 months' salary. He took that and made it into 30 months' salary or 2.5 years' worth of salary. Man, that's awesome, ain't it? Hey, man. I want somebody working on my money like that right now. I'm scared to look at my retirement right now. I mean, it's just scares me. But then we see another example of a servant, the faithful servant. Notice it, he said that he took the one and was able to engage, and it became five. So he was able to do a little bit over a year's worth of salary that was brought there. So we see the benefits when there was the day of reckoning. And I think that we forget sometimes that even as Christians, we're going to face judgment. We're going to be judged for every work that we do. Romans 14:12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the tribunal of Christ so that each may be repaid for what they have done, whether it's good or whether it's worthless. If you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 and following, you'll see this, that you can build in many different ways. You can build with fine metals and valuable things, or you can do it with wood, hay, and stubble. But when we go before the Lord, it's going to be judged. We will be judged for what we've done. That is the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, I believe it is. So we see that there is the faithful servant, but then there is the unfaithful servant. And I'm not saying that this servant is lost, but it's a servant that's not obedient. A servant that is not willing. I think where it says right there, you notice what it says. It said that he took the coin, and what did he wrap it in? A cloth. What is this stuff talking about? It's the old man. Take off the old man. Put on the new man. This old cloth, you ain't got to agree with that. That's fine. But notice, it says, I didn't do anything with it because you're a harsh man. You're a mean man. Somebody say that word in the King James. Austere. It means to be stern or strict. Now notice, let me ask you this. Do you think that the reason he did not do anything is because he was scared of him? No. I believe he was lazy. He didn't. He probably never even thought about it again. He stuck it up, put it in a place. And notice what he says. It's because I was scared of you. But listen to what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver bowls, but also bowls of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. So if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument, set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. So we see that the Bible teaches us that there's going to be faithful servants and there's going to be unfaithful servants. And we'll stand before God one day and he'll answer us. And notice what does he say? What the nobleman says, it's by your words. It's by your own words, the truth that you have confessed, that I'm going to judge you. Let me see what it says. I will condemn you by what you have said, you evil servant, since you knew that I am a harsh man and collect where I do not sow and deposit where I collect where I do not deposit and reap that which I do not sow. So we see here that many times there's something wrong with the way we followers of God think about the way he does things or the way that he's going to do things or even the way we see things. And so there needs to be a correction in our mind. And then not only that, then when we look at kingdom responsibility. Now we might not have been here when the nobleman went off on his far country trip, but we've been given the duties the same way that servants before us and servants after us have been given. We're to bear fruit, right? That's what he says. We're to bear fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30 is what it says. But there's going to be some that doesn't. But there's coming a day of judgment. And we've got to be certain about it. We need to recognize that we're going to stand before God, and everything that we've done will be judged according to Him. So now I want us to think about kingdom lessons real quick. There in verses 19, chapter 19, verses 26 through 27. This is when He took the coin away from the disobedient, unfaithful servant. And what does He do? Who does He give it to? He gave it to the one that, buddy, He gave him 1,000 increase on that thing, right? And He gave, and then they were like, why did you give it to him? Why would you give that to him when he already has 10? And notice what he said. He says, to everyone who has, more will be given. And from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Listen to Matthew 13:12. For whosoever has, more will be given to him, and we will have more than enough. But whosoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And then in Mark chapter 4, verse 25, for to the one who has, it will be given, and from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. This phrase is very much repeated. And again, I'm not saying that we can lose our salvation. I don't believe that. But I believe that we can lose certain desires. Now, the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable, is what it tells us over in the book of Acts. But I think we're seeing right now, as a country, we've been given so much. God has blessed us so much. But yet we've fallen so far away. Once we were the ones sending missionaries. Now we've got them sending missionaries here. Right? Those who once had, it's been taken away. And I believe we're seeing it in churches. I believe we're seeing people that have no desire. I've had some that have told me, I don't know why I don't want to go to church. I don't know why I don't want to be around the people of God. Well, could it be that their desire has been taken away and given to someone else? I just thought this was a good one. The three things I want you to do, if you don't remember nothing else, remember this. One, all true Christians, we have been given the most valuable of gifts. There is no greater gift, there is no more valuable thing in the world than Jesus Christ and what He has introduced to our life. But we have a choice to be either the faithful or the unfaithful. Produce fruit or not to produce fruit. But whatever choice we make, know that we're going to stand before God and we'll give an answer for everything that we've done. All right, any thoughts on tonight's parable? If nothing else, maybe to get you to study it and you get into it and look at it a little bit. I tell you, it's wonderful studying the Proverbs. There's a lot of stuff in it that I never saw before. Anything else before we could close out?
Yeah, I'm going to have to invest more money in the that God had given me. You know, I haven't been faithful and Sunday morning, you know, when Jesus is given his best for me, I'm going to have to invest more money. He's so sweet. It's just the best. But anyway, so Sunday morning I come and when the song plays, words just can't express how special it was to me. So my first experience with church, when I was a little girl, still sitting on my grandma's lap, I used to run up to the choir with me. Because at that church, they would just say, you may well sing them on it. So I'd run up to the choir and sing, and she didn't go. But you just call out a page number. And we sang that this Sunday, and it's just like, and God had just been revealing Himself to Jesus all through creation and everything. And Sister Ernestine, if you want to know if God uses you or how He uses you, Ken told me you selected those songs in the whole thing. And God just filled me up so much because He's using you.
And I tell you what, he may not speak audibly, but he can speak to you pointedly if you're willing to listen. There'll be no question who he's talking to if you're willing to seek him. Anyone else? I've had some texts here lately from some folks that's wanting to invest their coin. They're ready to invest their coin. I told them, I'll find somewhere. We'll find somewhere to stick you. They don't know where yet. Praise God, we'll stick you somewhere. Get you working. We'll move you around. You can be a hired gun. We'll move you here and there. Amen. Anything else before we close out? Any other thoughts? The study. We might go over to the other talents. We might look at the other one next Wednesday night. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been good to be in your house and good to be back with my family, my church family. And God, I'm so thankful that you've gotten me here. And Lord, I thank you for your word and how you do speak directly to us. And God, I pray that we'll be found as a faithful servant. Lord, one of those that's of gold and silver, that's of special use to the Father. And God, I pray for those that couldn't be here tonight, those that are sick, as we think of Sister Melissa and Sister Yvonne, and there's others, Lord, as we consider Brother Danny and Mr. Leonard. God, we pray for them and their family. But God, you are a good and a loving God. And Lord, we know that you do all things well. But Heavenly Father, Lord, sometimes what we see and what we hear, it robs us and makes us forget that. And as the man prayed, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Lord, I pray that for Thomas Village Baptist Church, that we be a people of faith, unshakable. And God, we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all.